Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.
Well, very clearly, none of the members of the task force condone any destruction at all. But I haven't stopped being an advocate. To the point of the commissioner, if you continue to treat people like animals, then eventually they will behave that way. If you continue to treat people less than human, then expect the reaction or response that you're going to get. Mary Lek Jones has some big decisions to make, and she can make them. She's gonna have to select a new public safety director, and that public safety director, I think, should give Commissioner Glass two options: resign or be fired.
I'm Sarah Fenske. This is St. Louis on the Air. On the night of Easter Sunday, inmates at the City Justice Center downtown again seized control of some areas of the jail. They broke windows. They set fires. They shouted, "We want court dates." Here's what St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson said about the havoc.
The good news to report here is that no staff were hurt, no police officers were hurt, no sheriffs were hurt as they tried to detain and get control of the situation. The only detainees that were hurt were two or three people who cut themselves as they broke the glass out, and they're not serious cuts. They didn't have to be hospitalized, so we treated them there at CJC. I don't want to say they weren't serious, but they were cut. So only a few people were cut as they broke the glass out.
And that is St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson. Now, Sunday's riot was the fifth disturbance at the downtown jail since December. The longest-lasting protest came in February. Detainees held the fourth floor of the Justice Center for nearly 7 hours. Now, after that incident, the city convened a task force to look into conditions at the jail. That task force recommended a host of items. And joining us today to talk about where that stands and what happened this past weekend is the Reverend Darrell Gray. He is the chair of the St. Louis Corrections Task Force. So, Reverend Gray, welcome.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon.
So, were you surprised to see what happened at the City Justice Center on Sunday night?
Unfortunately, no. The members of the task force have been monitoring the implementation of our recommendations since March 12th, and unfortunately, we haven't seen any significant implementation, particularly the urgent recommendations that were designated. And so when you continue to put detainees in cells that you know can be manipulated, when you have not moved through the justice system a lot quicker since the February 6th riots, when you still haven't given detainees the proper visitation with their families and time out of their cells. They're still sitting in their cells over 23 hours. Mm. I mean, these were the things that we identified as being the problem, the initiator of the problem in February 6th and before. And so we hear from management that, you know, we're following through with some of these things. But obviously, it's not moving quick enough, and the public really does not know what they're doing. The task force members certainly don't know.
Hmm. So you mentioned the locks here, and I know this is just one piece of so many issues going on right now, but this seems like possibly the most urgent if people are able to spring out of their cells.
Right.
The city's corrections commissioner had said they are working to do this urgent action item. They're replacing the locks on the fourth floor. Now, this was a different floor. Was your task force aware that the lock problem went beyond that one floor that was a problem in February?
Absolutely not. And that was one of the other things that we found disheartening, that we made it very clear in our report that we did not receive the kind of access that we were hoping for, particularly from the detainees, from the guards, and the building itself. We were not told that the lock problem extended beyond the fourth floor. If we had been told that, we would have made a recommendation that those particular detainees be moved. It is unacceptable and irresponsible to continue to put detainees in cells that you know can be manipulated. It puts them at risk. It puts correctional officers at risk. And, you know, I've made it very clear that the management, the senior management in the correctional center right now, I don't think has been derelict in his duties to move forward with any urgency as it relates to what's happening there right now.
So you talk about senior management. That is St. Louis Corrections Commissioner Dale Glass.
Yes, ma'am.
That's who you're referring to. Okay, so he answered some questions at a press conference Monday. I want to play you something he said there to get your reaction to this.
One of the things that concerns me in these kinds of situations is when the first events happened, we, the public, appeared to be condoning or justifying or lending cause for their behavior. And I'm not judgmental about that issue. But I would say it has a tendency to embolden. I'm not saying that was anybody's intent, but if the detainees or inmates see that this is the reaction, we have this support in this, what we did, it is not hard to imagine that it might occur again.
And that, again, is St. Louis Corrections Commissioner Dale Glass. Reverend Gray, is he right to say that activists and media attention to these protests has perhaps emboldened the people at the City Justice Center?
Well, very clearly, none of the members of the task force condone any destruction at all. We don't condone it. We've made that very clear. But we do believe that there are some legitimate concerns that if they had been addressed prior to December 29th, that it could have mitigated what took place. We're very clear, and I think that we've said it. I mean, I'm an advocate. Mm-hmm. I'm an advocate for criminal justice reform. Everyone knows that. I asked to be on the task force. I am thankful that Mayor Crewson saw fit to put me on the task force, but I haven't stopped being an advocate. But to the point of the commissioner, if you continue to treat people like animals, then eventually they will behave that way. If you continue to treat people less than human, then expect the reaction or response that you're going to get. They knew 5 years ago that those locks were broken. COVID is not the only reason that there's been a logjam in the courts, and we don't see any movement to try to get hundreds of people out of a building that obviously is overpopulated. And so when we talk about an independent civilian oversight committee, we're saying that we need an entity that on a regular basis is going to monitor what is happening within that facility, that is going to review cases, incidents that take place within that building, so that detainees know that someone is looking out to make sure that their constitutional rights are not violated or that they are living in humane conditions. These are still detainees who have not been to court, who are still innocent until proven guilty. And then hopefully we can move forward with creating this independent oversight committee. I know that Alderman Joe Vaccaro, who chairs the Public Safety Committee, is in agreement to that. And so that's positive. What he has done so far is to make the task force a subcommittee of the Public Safety Committee. I know that there's other action to move this oversight committee forward. I'm familiar with the legal action that has taken place. I was asked to be one of the complainants. The only reason I said no is because we're already in the process to see how quickly we can move this through the Public Safety Committee and through the Board of Aldermen.
And when you talk about that litigation, that's coming from attorney Elad Gross. There's some other people hoping to bring some action through the court system on this. You're still interested in trying to work in this process that's begun. Is the fact that this hasn't become a permanent corrections oversight board like you're looking for, is this just something where Mayor Crewson is waiting to see what her successor will do? Is that your sense of why the Board of Aldermen has had to take the lead at this point?
Well, I think that the Board of Aldermen took the lead at this point because Alderman Vaccaro and Alderman Board were part of the task force.
Oh, okay.
I think that they heard for over a month the concerns that were raised. I think that they heard the problems or the lack of communication between correctional staff, management, and police and sheriff. I think that we saw the disconnect and the dysfunction of the correctional center, to the point where, to their credit, and particularly to Alderman Vaccaro's credit, he said, okay, let's see what we can do right now.
Mm.
Now, we're hoping that that subcommittee can meet within the next couple of days and at least put together a framework for that oversight committee. I know that with Mary-elect Jones, I know that she has indicated her support of an independent oversight committee. I think that that's a positive thing. I understand Mayor Crewson saying we might wait till the next mayor comes, but I looked Mayor Crewson in the face. She assured me that she would continue to be mayor until she leaves office. And so I'm expecting the mayor's office, I'm expecting the Board of Alder people to move quickly on this, because you've said it yourself, that third floor, 60 detainees. What if they had escaped? It's the third floor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only a miracle that February the 6th and last Sunday, no one was hurt seriously or no one was killed. That potential was there in both cases. As again, it is unacceptable and is irresponsible. And we just believe that an entity like an independent oversight committee could help to move this along. And we believe that was why it was part of the 13 urgent recommendations, because we found that that what happened Sunday could happen again, and it did. And so people need to move with some haste. People need to move at a more deliberate speed, because people's lives are literally at risk.
Now, in our final minute here, Reverend Gray, you said that you believe St. Louis Corrections Commissioner Dale Glass has been derelict in his duty. Do you believe he needs to leave that position and we need someone new in charge of corrections?
I made it clear the other day after Sunday that the new mayor and now Mary-elect Jones has some big decisions to make, and she can make them. She's going to have to select a new public safety director. And that public safety director, I think, should give Commissioner Glass two options: resign or be fired.
Well, that's not to put too fine a point on it. So you'd like to see some action on that. I know you'd like to continue this oversight. What's the number one thing that the incoming mayor needs to do here as far as just the safety of these detainees going forward?
Well, I mean, she definitely is going to have a big decision to make, because I know that she, like I do, supports the closing of the workhouse. The problem right now is you have two floors that cannot be used because the detainees have destroyed these two floors, in addition to primarily because of the faulty locks.
And unfortunately, we are out of time today, but okay. That is some important decisions that need to be made here. Reverend Darryl Gray, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
The Reverend Gray is the chair of the St. Louis Corrections Task Force. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.
Find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations, and leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, saluting Earth Day on April 22nd with an ongoing commitment to help offset carbon emissions with sustainable harvesting of Missouri forests. Details at choosewood.com.